Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nox Quiros. My pronouns are she, her, and hers. And today I'm going to be talking about accessibility when it comes to virtual book clubs. So I really wanted to talk about this topic because as a disabled, chronically ill, chronic pain, neurodivergent, as someone who is all of those things and loves books and loves communities, it's really disheartening when certain things you want to do, like join a book club, are inaccessible. And I'll give an example. There is a very popular book club organization where they have multiple chapters around the world. And there are actually three in like a 20-mile distance from me. I really, really wanted to go to one of these because I've just heard so many great things about them. And so I checked. There was one where I would be able to make not every meeting, but depending on pain, I would probably be able to make some meetings. My partner was like, I'm down to go with you. It seemed perfect. It wasn't that far. I'd be able to go after work. I was really excited. But because I'm disabled, because I have mobility issues, I checked the location beforehand to see parking, what was offered there, because it is a bar and I don't drink. And unfortunately, every seat in the bar is one of those metal stools with the hole in the middle that you can pick it up through. And that is not accessible seating for me. The tables were all high off the ground and the stools as well, which there are a number of reasons why those stools aren't accessible for me. Sitting in them for a long period of time will give me a pain flare the next day. Getting that far off the ground is a balance act, really, especially when you don't have the best balance. There's so many things that just made that inaccessible to me. And I was so, so sad. I was crying. You know, my partner was telling me, we can figure it out. Maybe we can bring, you know, our own chair, things like that. But I was just really sad that it probably didn't cross anybody's mind, the restaurant or the people there, seating wasn't accessible. And unfortunately, I feel like it doesn't cross a lot of people's minds unless you have that lived experience or you love somebody with that lived experience. I was heartbroken. And so I just tweeted about it because I was upset. And I was like, I really wish more people thought about this. You know, I mentioned the name of the organization and I really want to give it to the organization that did it, that runs the worldwide chapters. Because they reached out and they let me know two things. One, they were sorry that this happened and they do actually have virtual options. They gave me a link and everything so I could find the one that works best for me. And two, they were like, you can DM us because obviously you don't want to like say your location online if you don't want to. We can reach out to the person in charge of that chapter and we can ask them if they can find more accessible seating or a more accessible location so that you would be able to join. In the end, I decided not to go that route. Part of me really is still thinking about whether I should have because it can't just be me. Has now felt left out because it's just not an accessible spot. But at the same time, it's so disheartening and really dehumanizing to have to go. How do I explain this? Accommodations are important. Accommodations are necessary. However, it can be really, really damn exhausting to have to be the person to bring up your existence and the need for these things to people. It is something I've had to learn to do. It has taken me a long time to get to the point I am at where I can speak up when it comes to myself, not just other people that I love, but for me to speak up for my own needs. That doesn't make it less exhausting. And ultimately, I felt unwanted by this place because it wasn't even a consideration. There are also logistical things to consider. And ultimately, I was like, let me try out the virtual one. And I'm glad I did. The virtual one meets at a set time. It's if you show up, you show up. If you don't, you don't. And I got a similar experience in a safe space. I was able to do it from the comfort of my bed, which actually means I can do it on days where I'm in intense pain. There were so many different ways that having it virtual made it more accessible to me than it would have been if I'd gone in person. It also made it more affordable in that way because I didn't have to worry about getting something to eat, getting something to drink. How much is it going to cost to get something to eat and drink? How much is parking? I'm in the comfort of my own home. I have my own snacks. I have my own drink. I am ready to go. And that is something I absolutely love about virtual book clubs. As someone with a BookTube channel, it's just more accessible, both as a person who's run it and as a person who's been in those conversations. I can go back to that conversation in the end. If I, for some reason, missed the conversation and I really want to know what happened, I can go back and see what the discussion was. It might not be the same as being live, but there is record and I can go back to those discussions. The people usually have little name boxes. So if I don't remember somebody's name, I can see who they are and they usually also have their pronouns listed. I don't have to worry about whether or not the seating's going to be okay. I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm going to have the spoons that day to get down the 3 flights of stairs I have, get to the car, whether or not we're going to have enough time to get there, how much is the gas going to cost, how much is the parking going to cost, how much is the food going to cost, because I don't like going places and to restaurants and such not buying food. I just feel guilty for some reason. These small things, okay. Do I have this with me, and this with me? Do I have this with me just in case? What do I have with me to make sure I can get this? I can join from the comfort of my bed. Some book clubs, like Zoom discussions, there's no requirement to have your camera on. And also, those same book clubs often are completely okay with you just being there in your pajamas. It's absolutely amazing. And of course, I have to hype up Feminist Book Club for this because we do have a virtual book club and it's amazing. It's amazing that this exists. It's amazing that we have this in mind. Another thing for accessibility purposes, Feminist Book Club will give you audiobooks if you ask for them. They will have an ASL interpreter available on Zoom if you request it. The community for these book clubs are absolutely amazing. The discussions for the book club are absolutely amazing. It makes me incredibly proud, even more so, to be a part of this community because this is a community where I can bring up accessibility and things like that. And the response was, okay, here's what we have in place. Of course, there's things about meeting with a group of friends in person to talk about the same book. That's really fun. But there's also something about virtual book clubs that just feels right. COVID is still out there. I'm immunocompromised. I don't have to worry about anybody else but me. Oftentimes, the communities behind virtual book clubs get it. They want you to feel at home. They want you to feel comfortable. You showed up in your pajamas? Okay, that's fine. You need to step out really quick to grab something to eat. That's fine. Take care of yourself. Your cat is meowing in the background. That is completely okay. Trust me, there have been so many book clubs I've been a part of where one of my cats has decided to make her presence known. I really do hope that we get more and more virtual book clubs, or at least book clubs with virtual options. We saw a rise of them, obviously, in 2020. But I don't want accessibility to go away just because people feel like it's okay to meet in person and go outside again. I don't want these things that we've done to go away. I don't want these opportunities for other people who, for whatever reason, whether it be disability, whether it be income, whether it be time, I want everyone to be able to have access to these discussions and to have access to these book clubs. I want these to be discussions that are had more often. I'm really glad that there's this option with Feminist Book Club. I don't want to keep feeling that way that I did when I found out that the seating wasn't accessible. I don't want to feel like an afterthought because it's really dehumanizing and it hurts so much. But I think we're making progress with virtual book clubs, and I hope that we continue to do so. So with all that said, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And I hope you all have an absolutely amazing day.
Hey, everyone. I'm Jordy. And today, Taylor.
Hey.
And Mariquita.
Hello.
And myself will be discussing our experiences with dating and trying to find a partner in today's day and age. So I think we should kind of just dive right on in and maybe discuss some of the wildest or funniest things that have happened to us on dates that have kind of left us speechless in the worst way possible.
The first thing that immediately comes to mind, it wasn't necessarily a date, but okay, so I'll start from the beginning. So I was going to a baby shower, and it was for this guy, childhood friend of the family's. I had a crush on forever growing up, but it was like him and his wife in their baby shower. So I was like, well, at least I have to look good. So I never wear heels. So I wore heels for this function. And afterwards, I wanted to go to Latin Fest. So I go to Latin Fest. I have my little shoes to change into, my little sandals. And of course, every time I make salsa dancing in sandals, I break a shoe. So I wasn't ready to go home yet. I met some really cool people. I was having a really good time, so I changed back into my heels. That was mistake number one. So, like, I'm dancing my heels. My feet really hurt, but I'm having a good time with these people. Like, there's this guy there. He's older. He's quiet, and he's not really my type, but I could tell, like, he was, like, vibing with me the entire night. And so I was trying to have a year of yes and, like, going with the flow. And so I went along with it, even though he wasn't typically somebody I talked to. And then, like, my feet were hurting so bad, I had to take my shoes off. And, like, I was still walking around the city barefoot. Absolutely disgusting. But at the end of the night, one of the girls was dropping us off at our cars. And he's like, oh, weird. I'm, like, parked right behind you. And I'm like, cool. And so he's like, can you hold on 1 second? I'm going to go pee really quick. And then I want to, like, talk to you. I'm like, okay, this is weird. So I'm, like, sitting in my car. He's like, do you have hand sanitizer? And I was like, yeah, here. And so I give him the hand sanitizer. He's like, you know, like, I really like you and you seem super cool. And I just feel so bad that we had you walking around the city barefoot. Like, I would love to give you a foot massage. And so I don't know what. It was the people pleaser in me, I guess, but I, like, let him massage my foot.
No.
It was terrible. It's, like, awkward. Like, my foot is, like, across the little console, and, like, he's just doing this little
tat thing
on my foot, and then the girl calls and is like, oh, y'all haven't pulled off yet? Like, is everything okay? Like, what's going on? He's, like, awkwardly just, like, massaging my foot. For, like, an entire 2 minutes while he's on the phone, like, saying, oh, yeah, like, everything's fine, without trying to, like, go into what kind of detail he was doing. And then he finally gets off the phone. He was like, well, I've got coconut oil back at my place if you want to go. I was like, early morning and go home. Like, thank you so much. And, yeah, it was just super cringy. And I don't know why I did that, but I guess it was, like, the people pleaser in me that was like, he's trying to be nice. Yeah, that's my story.
That is wild. And I feel like I can kind of relate because I kind of have that people pleaser in me too. And it's like you're sitting there thinking to yourself, okay, what kind of time frame is socially acceptable for me to like get up and leave? And then I feel like sometimes in those moments, you're also like, okay, if I leave too soon, like, is he going to do something?
Yeah, there's always an undercurrent of, you know, concern for safety with like a strange, unknown person. And especially somebody who seems to like not have a good grasp of boundaries, like what's a socially acceptable. So I don't know what I would have done in that position, but oh my gosh, that is just so cringy. Okay. When I first like tried a dating app, I was living in this small town and like, it's like, I don't recommend dating apps in small towns, really. It's, you're always going to like find your ex on accident and like, it's awkward. But I met this guy who seemed like I don't know, like we talked a little bit, he was kind of cute. And I thought, okay, well, you know, let's see if we have any kind of chemistry in person. So we made a date and I went down to this bar and he met me and we were talking a little bit and I was kind of feeling it, kind of not, like, you know, small town, don't have a lot of choices. And he started talking about how he was just one DUI away from a felony. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, interesting first date topic. And he started talking about how he's like passed out at all these public places. And one time he peed on himself while he was asleep on a couch and the window was open and it was wintertime in the Midwest. And so he like kind of froze a little bit to the couch. And like, honest to God, this was a first date. You know, like this wasn't, you know, like I wasn't like, hey, tell me about any kind of substance use issues you might have. Like it just was like, this was what he thought would be a good conversation topic.
Yeah, a good icebreaker. It's crazy. Sometimes I want to know what's going on inside people's heads. Like when you just meet, especially on first dates, because I don't know, first dates, you're a little nervous, you don't know the person. And sometimes people just start talking and you're like, where is this going? Like, you don't need to open up that much to me this quickly.
Yeah, that's like we've established like trust. You know, I guess I would feel maybe differently about it if he seemed like sort of ashamed about it, but he was like, yeah, like really, you know, like these are my party boy credentials. And I was like,
You're like, I'm looking for something else.
That's not me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this one happened pretty recently, actually. I did all of the things that you're not supposed to do. I'd been talking to this guy for a little bit and I was like, oh my gosh, he seems so nice and he's funny and he's sweet. And we planned a date to get Chipotle and then watch a couple episodes of Modern Family. And I was like, oh, like, I'm a little nervous. Like, I shouldn't go over to some stranger's place. Like, you know, they kind of drill that into us. I was like, it'll be okay. And so as soon as I get to the Chipotle and I see him, something in me was instantly like, this isn't going to work out. But like, I just can't turn around right now, which you could. But I was like, no, I'd feel bad. And so he didn't look like his photos. Like, he looked like his photos, but it didn't necessarily look like him, if that makes sense. So I was like, okay, this is interesting. But, you know, while we were at Chipotle, I was like, okay, he seems nice. Like, I don't get any red flags. I don't get a weird feeling. And earlier in the day, he was like, oh, yeah, I promise the apartment's clean. Like, it's going to be so nice, blah, 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 all this stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. Get to his apartment. It smelled so foul. I don't know what it was. And I was just like, okay, there was just kind of stuff everywhere. And I'm like, all right. And, you know, like dishes piled up and he had a roommate. And he was like, yeah, graciously, the roommate's sitting in his room right now. And I was just like, oh, cool. Like, I should have known that before coming here. And I was like, okay, I just have to use the bathroom. And he showed me where the bathroom was. I walked in. And he must have just showered because it felt like a sauna in there. And then I look to the toilet and there's no toilet paper. There's no rolls of toilet paper sitting nearby for me to grab. So I have to walk back out. And I'm like, hey, do you have any toilet paper? He's, oh, yeah, of course, of course. And he goes and grabs it. I'm like, okay, cool. Go to the bathroom. Walk out to wash my hands. There's no soap. And I'm like, okay. I try like squeezing a little out. And he's like, oh, you have to use the soap in the kitchen. So I walk to the kitchen. Use the soap. There's no towels to dry my hands. So I'm just like, oh, okay. He's like, no, I'll get you something. And he goes and grabs a towel from his bedroom. And I'm like, oh, I'm good. Like, I'm good. And we sit to have some of the Chipotle and he doesn't touch any of his stuff. And I'm like, I'm hungry. I'm going to eat. So he's just sitting there watching me eat. And then we go to watch the show and I sit on the farthest side of the couch and he immediately comes and sits like right on top of me, not literally, but so close. And he tries grabbing my hands and I'm like, oh, don't really want this. And he's like talking and he has an opinion on everything and not like things that you should have an opinion on. It was like a character in the show was wearing, I think, blue pants and a black t-shirt. And he was like, oh, that is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Nobody should ever wear this, blah, blah, blah. And everything was just like that. And I was like, I was there 10 minutes and I'm like, okay, when we'll watch like an episode and then I'm out of here. It was just so awful.
And like, that's one of the like things about going to somebody's house. You know, it's worse if they come to your house because it's hard to kick them out. But like, it's not even just like a danger quotient. You're just like stuck in this like uncomfortable social situation with somebody who doesn't like have basic hygiene.
Yeah. And then he would try to make jokes and I was just like, haha. And he's like, oh, why are you blushing? Why are you doing all this? And I was just like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just trying to survive and get out of here.
It gives me big, like, college boy dorm vibes. Like, no toilet paper, no soap, no paper towels to dry their hands. Like, gives me big, like, college boy dorm vibes.
Very much so. But this person was, I believe, 28 years old. And I was
No, that's horrifying.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, next. All right. So where do you both kind of look to find people? Like, do you use dating apps? Do you frequent coffee shops, the bars? Like, what do you do?
Oh, well, I've used the apps before and I feel like, I don't know. There's just like the convenience of it is really nice and like, getting a little bit of a read on somebody before you meet them is nice, but there's something just like soul draining about them sometimes. And especially when you're just like, it's just like person after person after person who's just not like, I saw that like this girl, she was a really cute woman. She was really cute. And so I messaged her and like, I was talking to her and she's like, yeah, my husband and I are looking for a third. And I was like, oh my God. You know, put that in your...
Yeah, that I have found a lot. I'm in Florida right now, and I see that so often. And I appreciate when people are upfront about it, because I'm like, okay, not my thing, but thank you for letting me know. But it's like the people who kind of hide it, and then they kind of spring it on you. You're like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, that's what she did. Yeah. And yeah, just put it like in your profile. Like, just make it really clear to save everybody time. But I don't know. I've also like tried to meet people organically, but it's, you know, with COVID and stuff, it really shut that down. It was really hard.
Oh, for sure.
I definitely agree. I tried the apps and like, I've just like personally speaking as like a Black woman, it's like, it's been difficult because I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I don't get much love on the apps. And like you were saying, it's like soul draining. So I like in the past, I've had most of my luck meeting people in person. But with COVID, it's been really difficult. And I'm trying to get back out there. Like I was joking around with like my friends, like, okay, I'm about to be outside this summer and we'll see if that actually happens. But yeah, I definitely have more luck meeting people in person. I think the apps are good to have that initial like vetting period, but I don't know, something about like in person, you can just like really tell like the vibes and kind of pick up on their energy a little bit better because they can fix stuff in that initial conversation on the apps.
Oh yeah, I met somebody on an app that like we worked really well together and we talked for like a while. We were quite a distance apart. And he seemed really funny and witty. And I really liked him. And I met him for the first time and it was like, oh my God. It wasn't that he misrepresented himself. It was just like 100% the wrong direction. Like there was no attraction there at all. And then I was kind of in this awkward space with him.
Yeah. I found that, you know, that the initial interaction that you can have on the apps can be great. And then that doesn't necessarily transfer over well in person. And sometimes I'm like, you know, especially for me, I get this way. It's like I take a little bit to warm up to when I meet you for the first time. But I found that typically sometimes the best conversations that I have with people on the apps, when we get in person, they're completely different. And I just think to myself, you know, what is happening here? Like, it doesn't make sense. But when you guys are talking about, you know, meeting people organically, this is just like for me, because I am an introvert and I'm super shy. Do you guys initiate? Like, do you go up or does it just happen and you're lucky like that?
I'm trying to think the last time that I actually was able to meet somebody in person. It depends. It depends on like the environment, you know. If it's more of like a street festival or something like that, I'm more like likely to go up to somebody. But like if I run into somebody, or if I see somebody like at the grocery store or at the library or something, I am much more reserved. I'm definitely an introvert, so that's an issue for me.
Yeah, same. So I kind of get lucky. Well, when I do get lucky, because most of the time it does not work for me. But so I've been doing this thing since probably high school where I create the condition to approach me. Like I create scenarios to put myself on your radar for somebody to approach me. And about 60% of the time it works, but I don't like approaching people first. Like I'm really shy. Like I'm thinking back to like grad school when I liked to somebody first. And like, I was actually telling my coworker about this earlier today because she's friends with the guy. I was like, oh yeah, I like slid into his DMs and he hit me with the, oh yeah, we should like schedule a lunch and discuss that further and blah, blah, blah. It was super like business. And I was just like, oh no, I was trying to get a date, not realizing he was dating one of my friends in my grad school cohort and somebody else back in his hometown who he ended up marrying. So I dodged a bullet with that one. But yeah, usually I do not make the first move. And if I do, it typically comes across. It's so weird because sometimes people take my like friendliness as flirting and then they don't take my flirty as flirty and just take it as friendliness. And I'm just like, okay, what am I doing wrong here?
100% agree. Oh yeah, that's definitely happened to me.
Yeah, I definitely feel that too. For me, I feel like it's easier to flirt with people when like I don't really care that much. But then once I find somebody who I'm a little bit interested in, I just close up. Yeah, and recently, so I've gone through a whole slew of just bad day after bad date. And one of the more recent ones, it was fine. He seemed like a good guy, but it just wasn't really anything. And I decided to, I don't know if this makes me crazy or not, but I reached out to somebody that I had gone out with back in July. And I was like, you know, this guy, we went out on some great dates. It was super fun. It fell through for a couple reasons, but I was like, you know what? Let me see what happens. And so I think we're going to go out for drinks this weekend. Fingers crossed that it goes well. So that's what I'm hoping for. But do either of you have any words of encouragement for people who are out there trying to find somebody, but they just feel like nothing is working out and they've been trying for what feels like forever?
I think the thing that I tell myself and the thing that I tell my friends is that it's just important to remember that you don't need somebody else, you know, and that the person you are is enough. And so if you do meet someone, you should meet someone who compliments you, you know, and don't capitulate for anything else. You know, once you're comfortable being alone, it's a lot easier to have positive dating experiences because you don't take a second date with like someone who rubs your feet in your car, you know, and like you just sort of like, no, I'm going to pass on that. Like my world is complete the way that it is. And to invite you into it, you have to be somebody special. So just, you know, just remember that you can be lonely and it can suck, but you don't need anybody else to validate who you are.
I would agree with that. I think for the most part, when I'm just like, oh, I'm on the prowl tonight. And even like this energy of like, oh, I'm gonna be outside this summer. Like I never tend to find people that way. But like, I always tend to find people when it's like, I'm just here to have a good time with my friends and like this vibe on my own. I go a lot of places by myself, like concerts and like restaurants and stuff. Like, so just being, again, being okay with like being by yourself is typically kind of how you attract that energy of like, you just being yourself and being your authentic self can kind of attract like what you want in your life versus like, you're like trying to search and like trying to go through all the options. And you may find yourself in situations where you don't want to be in, as a pattern for all of us.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And actually, my little piece of advice comes from my therapist. And when I talk to her, I'm always talking, well, not always, but I talk to her a lot about how, you know, I'm finally at a place where going out on dates doesn't make me as anxious or uncomfortable or negative about myself. And because of that shift, it's been a lot harder to find somebody that I'm like, you know, like I like just being around you. I enjoy talking to you. And she says to me, you know, it only takes one. As cliche that as that is, you know, you're out here, you're looking, you're not going to just choose whoever comes along, but it just takes one person. And that one person is out there. So don't put your life on hold in any areas to kind of find that one thing, because kind of like Marta Kitsa said, you know, you should be like comfortable with yourself, you know, you're enough and all of that. But yeah, it just takes one and it'll come along when it's supposed to come along.
I love that. That's really beautiful.
All right. Do you guys think we should talk about anything else before we kind of close out?
I have like a lot of feelings, but I am not really sure how to verbalize them. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's just, you're going to make mistakes. Other people are going to make mistakes, but when you're out looking for a partner, you know, when you are looking for that person to accompany you in life, you know, it's okay to be picky. It's okay to really think about what it is that you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the saying is so true, though. It's like, don't settle. Like, good enough and doing the bare minimum is not what we should be shooting for here. All right, well, thank you for coming on. And this was such a fun conversation. Hopefully people can relate to what we've had to say or have found some sort of encouragement.
Yeah. And I want to hear other people's dating horror stories, because I feel like we all have them and we could compile them into like a book that maybe could bring some levity and some validation to people, and maybe also could guide some other people into knowing what they shouldn't be doing.
Yes, that would be amazing. I would love to hear all those as well.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club.
A well-read woman is a dangerous creature.